Open up your Bibles with me. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 3. Of course, this is very familiar scripture that Paul speaking to the church at Philippi. And he's trying to encourage them, but he's also talking about the fact that, you know, everything that he's been through meant nothing. Because he was still moving toward God. All his earthly accomplishments meant nothing. Only thing that mattered was what he had accomplished in God. And you know, he goes on down then, and we'll pick it up in verse 13 here. He says this. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before." Now notice this. Paul says, "I haven't arrived yet." You see, none of us have arrived yet. If you think you have, you've messed up already. We're still a work in progress. Come on. Now, we're not where we used to be, but we're not where we want to be, right? Come on. We're still pressing. So he says the same thing. "I've not apprehended yet, but I'm reaching forth to those things." And he goes on and says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." In other words, Paul said, I'm putting some effort into what I'm doing. See, a lot of Christians don't put any effort into their Christianity. Amen. And I know we're not saved by works, but here's what I'm trying to tell you. If you want to grow in God, then you're going to have to put some work into it. Amen. It's just like building muscles. I've talked about this before. If you don't work and exercise, you won't build muscle. Come on now. You see, and it's the same way with the things of God. If we don't get into the Word of God, if we don't press into the things of God, if we don't get into the Word, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word, and we can't do anything unless we do it by faith, right? All things have got to be done through faith, and it's impossible to please God without faith. So we've got to continually be pressing in. Now, you can sit back and still go to heaven. Amen. You get born again, you're on your way to heaven, right? You're still living for God. But here's the thing. Do you want to just sit back, or do you want to do something in the kingdom of God? Come on now. Do you want to just sit back and just be a bystander, or do you want to be a participator in the things of God? Do you want to just sit back and watch everybody else getting blessed, or do you want to get more blessed?
Yes.
Come on, see. That's the thing about this. Blessings don't just automatically happen. Now, God will bless you as much as He can because He loves you. But there are things in the Word of God that God says you can believe for this and have it. But if you don't exercise that faith, exercise that belief, you're not going to get it. Come on now. See, I know that's not a popular thing. People want to think that, you know, God's just automatically going to give you everything. No, everything's done by faith and received by faith. So if I'm not putting my faith out there to believe for it, then I'm not going to be able to receive it. Right? Come on, I can have an ice cream truck and reach an ice cream cone out the window to you. But if you don't reach and get a hold of that, you'll never get that ice cream. It'll sit there and melt in the sun. Come on now. It's the same thing with God's got His both arms stuck out to us. Come on, read the Word. His promises are yes and amen to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to be pressing in. We need to be pushing ourselves. I don't know about you, okay? I'll use me for an example because I won't get mad at me because I know how I am, okay? I'm one of those people that I like to be pressed. I like to be pushed and know that I have to do better than where I'm at. Amen. I like to be encouraged to move forward, and then I like to be pressured to move forward. Come on, now you say, well, I mean, what do you mean pressured? Let me tell you something. If I call on one of you all and tell you you're going to get up here Sunday morning and you're going to speak to these people, I promise you, you will be pressed. Because you'll know I've got to get in the Word. I've got to find, you know, and as a pastor, I'm always, you know, two times a week, I'm like, you know, I've got to try. I'm talking to the same people, been talking to the same people for 26 years. Come on. And I'm trying to find a different way, and there's nothing new under the sun, but I'm trying to find a different way to give you the same thing. Right? Come on, that's like, I'm kind of like the Mexican restaurant. No matter what I title it, you're going to get the same stuff. Right? No matter what name I give to it, right? It's going to be beans and rice and chicken or what, right? Just mixed up in a different way that I present it to you. But that's what the word is, you see. But you know, sometimes, you know, it's kind of like, you know, since I'm already on that, I might as well just go on the subject. Why is it that even though it's the same thing, if you go to the Mexican restaurant, you get something different? I'm going to get something different this time. Right? So I get my beans and my rice and my chicken rolled up. And I say, man, I believe that's better. Right? Same thing, I got it better. It tasted better. Sometimes we bring the word at a different angle, and it happens with Brother Rick or Jason or anybody else that gets up here. We're giving you the same meal, but each one of us gives you a different presentation of it, and so sometimes they taste better. That makes sense? I mean, come on, you know, I understand that we all have different people that we enjoy listening to a little better, even though it's the same word. Right? Come on now, you know, I mean, that's okay. It's not that we don't enjoy everybody else, but everybody has their favorite thing and favorite person. And so when we get the word like that and we'll receive it better, but we ought to be pressing in to receive it at all times, no matter who's given the word. Because when the word comes forth, it's the word. And it's that word that'll produce faith in you. Come on. And it's that faith in you that'll produce results that you want from God. It's not that you make God do anything. Okay? It's the fact that God said, if you do it this way, then I will answer it. Amen. You know, I mean, again, we can pray all the prayers we want, but if we're not praying a prayer of faith, then we're missing the mark. See, you can actually pray a prayer of doubt and unbelief. Amen. When you're not praying what the Word says, you know, and I'll be honest with you, a lot of times the if it be thy will prayer is a prayer of doubt and unbelief. You know, there is that place where, you know, you're not sure what the will of God is concerning a specific thing. But if the Word says it is, then it's His will. And if you say, for example, healing. If you ask God to heal you and ask Him if it's His will to heal you, would He please heal you? Then you're praying a prayer of doubt and unbelief. Because the Bible's already said that by His stripes you were healed. You see, so you don't believe what the Word says. So when you ask like that, well, if it be thy will. See? And so you and I need to make sure that we're pressing into this thing, pressing into, and that's what Paul said. I've not attained yet, and believe me, I've not attained yet. I'm still learning. I still catch myself saying some stupid stuff. You say, well, what do you mean stupid stuff? If you say something that don't line up with the Word, you can call it stupid stuff. Because it is stupid. Anything that doesn't line up with the Word is stupid to say. But we've just got habits that where it causes us to say things, so we've not attained yet. The other day I heard Brother Scotty, he said something to his brother Shannon, and he said, wait, nope, I take that back. Hope, I rewind that. Nope, and then he corrected. Because he wanted to speak positive on it rather than negative on it. Amen. And he was talking to Shannon when he said it. He just told him, he said, hope, I'm going to take that back from you. I'm going ahead and gave him this. You know, well, see, that's a result of him pressing in, learning the Word, and knowing that he spoke it wrong. And we all do that from time to time. We'll just be talking in general. And see, it matters what we say out of our mouth. That's something that we've learned by getting into the Word and finding that out. So Paul's saying, I've not attained yet, but here's what I'm doing. I'm forgetting about my past. We've all made a lot of mistakes. Come on, every one of us have got places and we could look back and we could have regrets or whatever. But Paul says, I'm forgetting about all that. Amen. You need to too. Just go ahead and ask God to forgive you if you haven't. And if you have, then you need to forgive yourself. He said, I'm forgetting about those things that are behind. And he said, I'm looking forth. See, we got to continue to look forward and press in then for the prize. Amen. And that's what I want to encourage you tonight to do. I want to encourage us tonight to press in and not allow things and situations and circumstances to cause us to back away and not press, okay? Matter of fact, if you understand it, there is nothing to go back to. There's nothing to go back to. So we've got to keep our eyes on the prize and never give up on our dreams or the promises of God. They're always yes to us. They're always there for us. You know, when you start looking over in Joshua, you can get a picture of something that happened in Joshua chapter 14. I'll probably summarize rather than read. No, I'll read it. Go with me, Joshua chapter 14. Let's read it, and so you can see exactly what they said. Joshua 14:6. It says, "Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, 'Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word to Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance." Now, why I wanted to bring this out for you is because I wanted you to see, here's Caleb, faithful to God, very faithful. When everybody else, when the spies were sent out, it was only he and Joshua that came back with a good report. All the other 10 gave an evil report. He's faithful. Caleb's even say, "Let's go up once. Let's go right now. We can do it. We're well able. Let's do this thing." Okay? Now, he's 40 years old when that happens. But because the people believed the false report, they were made to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. You've got to understand something. Why everybody else, all the out and out unbelievers, why they're all wandering and dying in the wilderness now for the next 40 years. Caleb's right there with them. He's having to go through that wilderness experience with them. He and Joshua both. But now they've come through it and they're on the other side. And Joshua is leading. Moses is dead. And now Caleb looks at Joshua and said, "You remember when I was 40 years old, how Moses promised that I could have that land?" He said, "I'm as strong as I was then. And if God will be with me, then I want that land. I'm going to go drive them out of there. That's mine because God promised it to me." He said, "Now I'm 85 years old. It's been 45 years since Moses said you can have the land you're trodden your feet on. But for 45 years, Caleb had to wait. And in all of his waiting, and this is what I want you to get, he never lost sight of the promise that had been given to him. God had promised through Moses, you can have this land for your inheritance. And Caleb said, I want my inheritance. Now, see, a lot of folks would have quit and give up. Whew, I'm 85 years old now. I've been through 40 years of hell. Right? Come on, they're wandering the wilderness. I mean, remember the snakes biting and all the things they went through while they were in the wilderness. They're going through all that. And he's 85 years old now. Who wants to go fight a bunch of giants? Right? Come on. I mean, you know, but Caleb said, no, I haven't lost my vision. I haven't lost the prize. Matter of fact, I've had my eyes on that prize for the last 45 years. And today, I want my prize so I can go claim it, and I will run whoever's on my land off. And he did. Hallelujah. He ran the giants off. He got rid of them. And he claimed his inheritance. You see, it doesn't matter how much time has passed. You cannot lose your vision. You cannot lose your purpose. You cannot quit pressing. Because when you quit pressing, then you start to lose heart. Caleb never lost heart. He kept pressing and he received exactly what he was expecting to receive. You see, a lot of times we don't understand. God wants us to have it as bad as we want it. I mean, I heard him even speak that to me today. He said, I want you to have this as bad as you want it. You see, but we have to keep our eye on the prize. You can't. Caleb could have got all tore up looking, man, here I am. I follow God. Right? Come on, that's some Christians, we can do that. You know, especially if we're following after God and we're watching everybody else mess up. Come on now. We get a little self-righteous. You know, I'm wholly following the Lord. He said, I wholly followed the Lord, right? The other 10 didn't. They came back with an evil report. He could have very easily looked around and said, I shouldn't have to be wandering around in this wilderness. I wholly followed the Lord. This is all their fault. He could have been blaming. No. He was stayed faithful to God, kept his eyes on what his prize was, and then claimed it. And see, that's what you have. No matter whatever anybody else is doing, you need to keep pushing into the things of God that you want to receive. It don't matter if time passes. It doesn't matter. God hasn't forgot about it. He wants you to have it, but you've got to keep pressing toward it. You can't give up on your dream. You can't give up on your promise because God's not. Amen. See, you got to realize that. In Daniel chapter 10, go with me over there if you want to. We'll read verses 11 through 14. Let me show you this. In Daniel chapter 10, verses 11 through 14, here Daniel he's begun to pray to seek the Lord. He wants to find out some things from God. Y'all should know this story. But Daniel's began to pray. And look here at verse 11. Let's see. Do I want to start? Yeah, it says, an angel appeared to the Lord. And he said to me, verse 11, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee now am I sent. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now am I come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Now, I wanted to show you this because he's praying and it's 21 days before he gets an answer. See, a lot of times we feel like if we're praying, we ought to get an answer just like snapping your fingers. And if there's a delay, well, it must have not been the will of the Lord. See, I want to show you that Daniel just kept on pressing in. He's fasting. If you read the whole story, you'll find out he didn't eat any good bread. In other words, he's on this fast and he's praying and he's asking God. He wants to find out what's happening, Lord. What's going on? And it's 21 days before he gets an answer. And an angel shows up and says, well, you've got to understand that there was some trouble in the spiritual realm. See, that's what he's talking about. As he was coming through the spiritual realm, see, things happen in the spiritual realm before they're manifest on earth. And so he's coming with the answer from God, and he's hindered by a governing spirit over that area. It's a ruling spirit over that, a spiritual power, a wicked spiritual power. And actually, he says that Michael, the archangel, came, and apparently some others there, and they came and till that thing was settled, and then he got to come and bring his answer. You see, you've got to keep staying with it because you never know that whether or not what it is you're praying about or whatever it is you've asked God for, that it's not something that the enemy will try to hinder you from getting. And so you've got to keep on praying, keep in faith, keep believing God, and give God time to do what He needs to do because His timing will always be perfect. Amen. You have to understand, church, you're a spiritual being and you are a representation of God on this earth. You're an anointed one, and the enemy and all his cohorts hate you. And they will try their best to stop you from being successful. Yeah, for a lot of Christians, they don't have to do a thing because they're not trying to do anything successful. They're not trying to press in. They're not trying to use their faith. They're not trying to get rid of the kingdom of darkness so the kingdom of light can come in. But if you're pressing and if you're trying to do things and you're trying to grow in God, I promise you the enemy will try his best to stop you from becoming what God wants you to become. Amen. The enemy's hard at work and been hard at work for a long time trying to stop the people of God. He's always hated God, one ever since he got kicked out when he tried to overthrow God. And he got kicked out. Ever since then, he's been trying to overthrow God again. He can't, never will be able to. Come on, it may look like he's making an uprising, but understand, all God's got to do is put his foot down. You know what? Same thing's true of you. It may look like he's having an uprising, but you've got to understand, he's under your feet. All you got to do is put your foot down. I don't know about that. Well, you know, the Bible says that God has put all things under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? Amen. I believe that too. Well, you know, the Bible also says that we are His body. We're the church, His body. And so if He put it under Jesus' feet, He put it under our feet too. And the only way He can get out is if you let your foot up and let Him out. You see, and He'll try to rear up His head. He'll do everything that He can. You know, He'll try to do what He, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen, there's one commercial where the guy is, it's one of those sinus things where he's a little blob of snot or something. I don't know what he is, but he's trying congestion or something, and he's always trying to stop it. But you know, there's, I think it's a Mucinex commercial. Maybe they'll give me a little money for that. I don't know. It's advertising for. But anyway, the little Mucinex, whoever the little guy is that's causing all that, Mucinex comes and then he just shrinks and he's not big enough to do anything. Well, see, that's the way the devil is. The only thing, the way he's big is if you let him be big. You know, you need to use a little Jesus on him. Come on. Use some of that anointing that you have to squash him and don't let him take hold. So understand this, that a delay is not a refusal. You have to understand that. A delay is not a refusal or a no from God. Sometimes there's things going on that you don't know about. Amen. And so you just stay faithful to God. You stay in prayer. You stay in faith. And I promise you, it's coming. God is working it out so that you can get an answer. So we just got to make sure that we stay there long enough to get our answer and we don't quit. Now, a lot of times the enemy sets stumbling blocks like that. But you know, sometimes we just trip over our own feet. Yep. See, not everything is a devil. I know that he's always trying to do stuff, but it's not always the devil's fault. Amen. It's true. I mean, let me give you a good example of that. Remember when David wanted to bring the ark back into Jerusalem? The Philistines had captured the ark, and he wanted to bring it back. Philistines had gotten cursed for having the ark, and they had it on a new cart, and they sent it out because, you know, they had given them hemorrhoids and all kind of, I mean, it was just, man, they just had to get rid of that thing because it didn't belong to them. Because the ark represented the Spirit of God, and they were not godly people. And when it got over in around godly people, they'd be blessed. And so David hears these people are being blessed, and he says, you know, we need to get that ark back up here in the holy city. And so he gathers up a bunch and they go down to get it. And when they go down to get it, they leave it on that cart. And they're still doing all the rituals. They're praising, worshiping the Lord, moving along, and they're taking it back toward the city of Jerusalem. But then they get up there to Achan's threshing floor. And when they get up there, there's a place where the road's rough or whatever, and the thing starts to rock. And Uzzah is one of the men there watching the ark, and it starts to move or something, and he puts his hand out to steady it, and he dies. He drops dead. Well, David is just, it just got him. You know, he's so discouraged because he said, well, why did God do this? And he left the cart, man. They took him in over to Obed-Edom's around his family, and they went back to try to figure out what's going on. David's trying to figure it out, and while he's trying to figure it out, he hears they're being blessed down there. And then David calls together his people, and he says this. He says, we're going to go back down and get the ark. But I remember that nobody but the priest of God, the Levites, are supposed to carry that ark. And he said, so this time we're going to go back down there because that breach came upon us because we didn't do things in due order. And so they go back down. This time they do it God's way. And when they do it God's way, they march all the way into Jerusalem, praising and worshiping God, and they bring that ark. Now, here's the thing. The first time they tried to do it their way, David tried to do it his way, just going to bring it up there. And he didn't do it the way God had said to do it. Sometimes our problem and sometimes the reason things come against us is not because the devil's behind it, it's because we're doing it the wrong way. It might be because we're not doing it in faith. Come on now. And it could be because we're doing something we just wanted to do and God didn't tell us to do. And it might not come to pass just because of that. But when you do it God's way, it will always be a success. I know for a fact that you can absolutely do some things that are not God's way and it won't succeed. Amen. See, God does things. You know, as I can remember as a young pastor, I thank God for my pastor, Pastor Darrell Huffman. He's just, you know, he's always been a spiritual mentor to me and a spiritual father, you know, and they've always had a successful church. And starting out, I looked at what God was doing there and I said, I want God to do the same thing in Sagersville, in McGoffin County. And so I would go down there a lot. Man, we used to be down there a whole lot. And I would watch and observe and see how they did things. And when they tried something, they did something. And I would watch and observe that. And I would think, well, it's working for them. You know, I think I'll implement that and just see how that works. And you know what? I found out that some of the things worked, but some of the things did not work. It just didn't go over here. You know why? Because some of the things were things that were for just their church, not our church. Okay? You see, I'm trying to show you that just because somebody else is doing it don't necessarily mean it's something you should do. And just because somebody else is successful at doing it a certain way don't mean that's the way that you should do it. I'll never forget, Dad Hagin always said, back when they were back, you know, around the, I guess back in the 50s and when he was in 40s, when he was ministering, that was the time that the big tent revivals, you know, you had Oral Roberts and you had a bunch of these that were going out and they were having all the big tent meetings, miracles and signs and wonders and things are going on. And, you know, Dad Hagin being an anointed man of God, people would come up to him and say, Brother Hagin, you need to get you a tent and start going out in those tents. And he said, well, you know what? He said, I appreciate all those that are doing that. He said, but the Lord ain't told me to do that. He said, the Lord told me to stay in the churches. You know, and if you're reading after him and stuff, he said, you know, and that's exactly what I did. He said, I stayed in the churches. And he said, it wasn't long. He said, I looked around and there wasn't, the tents weren't out there. And there were those ministries, a lot of them were gone. And he said, but my ministry was still growing because I'd done what God told me to do. see a lot of people, you know, during that time, because tent, you know, things are going good in one tent, don't mean it's going to go good in another tent. Come on now. You see, because it's not about the tent, it's about what did God say. You understand that? It's not about the building, but it's about what did God say. You know, and so I learned, you know, from mistakes that I have to be really careful to listen to see what is it God wants to do here. And how is it God wants to do it here? And when we do it that way, you know, praise God, He just blesses and things go good and people get blessed because we just keep pressing in. And I promise you, I'm still pressing God. God, I want to see things move at a faster pace. But I also understand that everything happens in God's timing. Come on now. Sometimes there's those periods of just waiting. We've been in waiting in this country for a while, but I see things changing. Come on. The church, I see things changing. I see God moving in ways that I've not seen Him moving in a while. It's not that God didn't want to move. It's just I think God was waiting for us and people to get in position so that His timing would be perfect. Come on now. From the foundation of the world, Jesus coming to this earth as a child, a baby born of a virgin, it was planned. From before the foundation of the world, you understand that, right? But it didn't happen until God said, okay, it's time. Now's the time. You see? And so you can't quit because you don't know the timing is God's. And so you have to keep pressing. You have to keep pushing. You have to stay with it. You have to stay in faith until God says, all right, it's time now. And when God says it's time now, it'll spring forth. And you'll see the power of God in action and moving in your life. And you'll be able to just look back and smile and say, I've been waiting on this. I've been believing God for this and it's come to pass now. You see, I don't want any of us to back off and think, well, you know, I think we've missed it or we've done. No. God is still moving. It's still coming to pass. You just have to stay in faith. You can't allow yourself to back off. So, because He did it His way and not God's way, it failed. But when He did it His God's way, it worked. Now, that was a setback for David. Right? The first time he did, I mean, it was set back. He said, how am I ever going to bring the ark of God home? But then when he started looking in the Word and he started understanding and knowing, wait a minute, this is the way that God said, bring it. This God commanded that the priest carry this. And he did it that way. He was successful. The first time was a setback, but David never let a setback stop him from doing what was in his heart to do for God. There will be setbacks in your life. Did you know that? The enemy is always trying to do stuff, and sometimes we do stuff. He caused the setback because he didn't do it right the first time. Amen. Come on now. You see, when I'm working on some things, construction, I can do a few things, and you know, if I'm building something or whatever, I talk to myself a lot. Now I know what that's a sign of. I do answer myself sometimes. So you know, I mean, but you know, if I wanted to talk to somebody intelligent, I mean, I just talk to myself, right? No, I talk to myself because I'm talking things out because I found out that a lot of times I'll do something, and then if I did it wrong, guess what I get to do? Do it over. And if it's building something, you got to tear it back down and build it back. We had some rails put on our porch yesterday, and went outside. Brother Brad Wheeler comes here. He does roofing and vinyl and all that stuff. But anyway, we'd gotten some vinyl. Pastor Ed and I got tarta painting porch posts, you know, and staining them every year and whatever. And so we got some vinyl ones. And he was putting them in, and I walked out there, and he said, notice anything about those rips? I looked, and I said, hey, no, not really. He said, God, take them back down. I said, what do you mean take them back down? Well, he hadn't paid attention, and some of those balusters, they were made different. They weren't the same on both ends. They had to be all put in a certain way, and he had two or three of them across through there that the baluster was upside down. And he said, I thought both of them were the same. Before he'd got them from a new company, and they had changed them. And so he had to take that rail back loose and pull it all apart just so he could flip two or three and put them back. Whose fault was that? Well, it's his. And he knew it was. But he's human just like we are. We make mistakes like that. Sometimes we do things. I don't like to have to redo. He didn't like to have to redo, and I don't like to redo. And I know you don't like to redo. And especially when it comes to the things of God. So what we, you and I need to do is make sure that we're looking at God's instruction book. Did you hear me? I'm sure he's done that so many times that they didn't look at any. They've got their style, and you know, one's doing this and why this is doing that. That's the way contractors are, you know, and stuff. And I'm sure he never bothered to look at a paper that would have said, make sure you turn all the balusters the right way. It probably said there in some way how they went. But, you know, he just went through there putting them in, and I probably would have done the same thing. And I don't know if I'd have caught my mistake or not, but, you know, because I looked at it and didn't really pay any attention until he pointed it out. Now, I'm saying all that to say that you and I will make mistakes, even trying our best to follow God. But we don't quit because of that. The wonderful thing about God is He'll let you do it over. You can repent if it's something you need to repent of. Or it's just one of those things where you say, God, like David did, God, I didn't do it right. Now I'm going to do it right, and I expect the right results. How many knows if you do it right, you'll get the right results? Come on now. You know, you ladies, you know when you're cooking, if you follow the recipe, most of the time it'll turn out right. Right? So you're looking at me funny. I know every one of you got to. I'm going to add a little bit more of this. That's the trouble with Christians sometimes. I think I'll add a little of this. Well, you know, I mean, it could make it better, and it also could make it a whole lot worse. You know, or I'll substitute this for that. Right? You know. And the worst thing, well, I don't want to get into that, but be careful about cheap ingredients. Right? Be careful. Make sure you're not using a cheap gospel when you're trying to receive from God. Make sure you're using the real thing, the Word of God, because everything is based on the Word of God. The main thing is, though, cook, bake, use the Word, use your faith, keep pressing in, because I promise you, God wants you to have it as long as you'll keep pressing toward it. You'll get it. Right? Cast not away thy confidence, which have great recompense of reward. Because you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you receive the promise. See, God's promise is yes and amen to you, but you've got to keep pressing until you see the manifestation. No time to let off. Don't quit. Don't let setbacks or delays or anything cause you to give up on it. Keep pressing. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me. Father, we thank You, bless You, and praise You. Lord, You know us. You know that we're impatient people, and we don't like to wait. We've become this microwave society that wants everything now. We ask You, Father God, to forgive us. Lord, we know that everything will be in Your timing when it comes to Your things. Help us to remember that, Father God, and to just stay faithful and stay patient. And wait on Your promise, God, because it will surely come. And we're not of those that draw back, but we're of those that believe until we receive. And we just thank You, Father God. Everything we're believing You for is coming to pass. And You'll get glory for it and praise. And we just thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you're here,